From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Thursday marked the opening of the 13th annual summit of the BRICS countries, those five member states being Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The meeting opened with statements from the heads of state of the members India, China, South Africa, Brazil, and Russia in that sequence. First, we bring you some comments from China's President Xi Jinping.
Over the past 15 years, our five countries have enhanced strategic communication and political trust in the spirit of openness, inclusiveness, and equality, respected each other's social system and development path, and explored a sound way for countries to interact with each other. Our five countries have sought synergy between our development policies and drawn on our complementarities. We have made solid progress in various areas of cooperation in the spirit of pragmatism, innovation, and win-win cooperation, and we have forged ahead on our common journey of development. Our five countries have supported multilateralism and taken part in global governance in the spirit of equity, justice, and mutual assistance, and we have become an important force on the international stage to be reckoned with. Since the beginning of this year, our five countries, overcoming the impact of COVID, have maintained the momentum of BRICS cooperation and secured new progress in many areas. What has happened shows that as long as we pool our mind and our effort, then we can make smooth, solid, and sustained progress in BRICS cooperation, come what may. I look forward to in-depth exchanges with you, my colleagues, and jointly set the direction for the future of BRICS. We look forward to working with our BRICS partners to deepen all areas of our cooperation and build a closer and more results-oriented partnership to meet our common challenges and create a better future. Thank you.
The following are some comments from Russia's President Vladimir Putin at the opening of the 13th BRICS summit, which was attended virtually by the heads of state of the five member countries.
Outstanding. Regional conflicts haven't stopped. On the contrary, they have erupted again, becoming more violent. U.S. and its allies' withdrawal from Afghanistan has led to a new crisis, and it's still unclear how this will affect regional and global security. The citizens of this country have fought for decades and deserve to exercise the right of defining what their state will look like on their own. Meanwhile, we are all interested in Afghanistan's ceasing to be a threat to the neighbors, so that the Afghan territory would be a source of drug trafficking and terrorism. We are interested in stopping migration flows. We are for Afghans living in peace and dignity on their soil. I have said on numerous occasions that a new spiral of crisis in Afghanistan stems directly from irresponsible attempts to impose alien values from the outside and intention to build the so-called democracies, democratic structures, using the patterns and methods of social and political engineering without taking into account either historic features and disregarding the traditions that other people have followed. It results in destabilization and chaos. And after that, the authors of these experiments back down, leaving those they have paternalized to their own devices. and the entire international community will have to clear up the mess as a result. I'm confident that we can ensure progressive development of the international relations only through guaranteeing the coexistence of states with different political and social systems, their own national interests and spiritual and moral values. However, we must strictly observe the fundamental principles of international law enshrined in the UN Charter, including non-interference into the internal affairs and respect for sovereignty.
Also on Thursday, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met with Israel's Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, and they held a press conference, which we bring you in its entirety. First, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to express my gratitude to my counterpart, Foreign Minister of Israel, Yair Lapid, for accepting our invitation, and soon after his appointment as Foreign Minister, coming to Russia. Now, we've had a very extensive conversation ranging international and bilateral issues. As per tradition, the atmosphere here has been a very friendly one, and the results that we've reached were very fruitful. Now, we have covered in detail the prospects of bilateral ties between Russia and Israel, and we are happy to say that our political dialogue is very intensive, including on the highest level, and including the foreign ministers. We have agreed to continue the practice that we have to prepare a plan of consultations between foreign ministers and ministries of the two countries. Both countries are interested, both myself and Mr. Lapid are interested in organizing a new session of the Trade and Economic Cooperation Commission, and we will contact each other as soon as possible and agree on the details of further operations of this very important body. We have also agreed to continue cooperation along the lines of various investment projects and other projects agreed upon earlier and supported by both President of Russia and Prime Minister of Israel. Now, we have focused on coordinating our efforts to prevent our efforts to revise history and to revise the revise World War II, to prevent glorification of Nazism, prevent the spread and proliferation of neo-Nazi tendencies that we have observed in Europe, and especially in Eastern Europe, Western Europe as well. And we will continue to coordinate our efforts on various international platforms, including the UN, to reach this goal. Now, we've also covered various regional issues, such as Israeli-Palestine relations. We welcome normalization of Israel, of relations of Israel with various nations of the region, and we believe that the comprehensive peace process will be boosted by these efforts. Russia will continue to support organizing direct peaceful dialogue between the Israelis and the Palestinians, including through the efforts of the Quartet of International Intermediaries. We have also covered the situation in Syria. Russia believes that Israel also believes that UN Security Council Resolution 2254 needs to be carried out in full to preserve the territorial integrity and unity of Syria. And Syria has the right to define its future, the future of its nation. We have noted the importance of providing humanitarian aid to Syrians as soon as possible to help them restore the war-torn infrastructure of the country, which is prevented by the unilateral sanctions of our Western counterparts. and by the UN resolution passed several months ago. We will continue to work in various international organizations. We have deep contacts in various organizations, in the Security Council, in the Ministries of Defense, and this all helps us organize our work in a way that takes into account the interests of both countries in international and regional affairs. Mr. Lapid invited me to visit Israel, and I'm gladly accept his offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I would like to start by offering my condolences on the tragic death of Minister Yevgeny Zinichev. It's a terrible tragedy. In our tradition in Israel, we say, may his memory be a blessing. 76 years ago, my father, Minister, was a child in the Budapest ghetto. He was destined to die. Then one day he heard people speaking in a language he didn't understand. And my grandmother, who was with him, suddenly lifted her head and she said, "It's Russian. The Russians have arrived. We are saved." The Red Army saved the world from tyranny and racism, and they also saved a 13-year-old boy in the ghetto, which is my father. 3 years later, the people of Russia supported the creation of the State of Israel, and we owe you. And we are a people with a long memory. I want to thank Minister Lavrov for the important meeting we had today and for his years of friendship with Israel. Next month, we will mark 30 years since we renewed our relations. Russia is one of Israel's most significant and important partners. The foreign minister and I discussed ways to strengthen and deepen these relations between the new government of Israel and the Russian government. We all aspire to bring security and stability in our region and to the world. Unfortunately, there won't be stability in Syria or in the wider Middle East while there is an Iranian presence. Iran is the world's number one exporter of terror. It threatens us all. Israel will not sit quietly by while Iran builds terror bases on a northern border, or while Iran supplies advanced weapons to terror organizations, weapons intended to be used against us. We will maintain our ability to defend ourselves in the face of threats from Syria and elsewhere. We, of course, recognize that Russia has key interests in the region. That is why we formed the military deconfliction mechanism, which is both necessary and effective. The foreign minister and I also discussed the Iranian nuclear program and the danger it possesses to the entire world. The last two IAEA reports are damning. They include serious violations, fraud, deception, and outright lies. The picture is clear and very worrying. A rapidly advancing nuclear program without any effective supervision. The reports demand the Board of Governors' decision. The message to Iran must be loud and it must be clear. Iran's march towards a nuclear weapon is not only an Israeli problem, it's a problem for the entire world. A nuclear Iran will lead to a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. And the last thing any of us want is to see nuclear weapons fall into the wrong hands. The world needs to stop Iran from getting a nuclear capability, no matter the price. If the world doesn't do it, Israel reserves the right to act. The Iranians have never hidden the fact that they want to destroy Israel. That is an existential threat to us. Israel will not allow Iran to become a nuclear state or even a nuclear threshold state. Now, I don't want to create the impression that the entire conversation between Minister Lavrov and myself was about threats and conflicts. Israel and Russia have strong and deep ties in economics, culture, tourism, energy, and science. Without Russia, culture in the world and in Israel wouldn't be the same. Without Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff, Chekhov and Akhmatov and Gogol. Without them, our lives would all be much poorer. We want to build on our strong ties, and we can. In a world hurt by the pandemic, we need to find new ways to do business, new ways to develop cultural and economic ties. There are over 1 million Russian speakers living in Israel today. One of them is our Minister of Tourism, Yoel Kostya-Razbozov, who is here with us today. This is an incredible platform to deepen the ties and to create economic opportunities for both countries. I want to thank Minister Lavrov for the warm welcome and thank President Putin for his friendship and leadership. I look forward to even closer cooperation between our two countries in the coming years. Thank you so much.
Уважаемые коллеги, переходим к вопросу, пожалуйста, газета «Коммерсант».
Now we'll proceed to the Q&A, please. A Commercant newspaper.
Добрый день, газета «Коммерсант», Марианна Беленькая. У меня вопрос к обоим министрам. Обсуждалось время переговоров тема израильских ударов по Сирии, и выставила ли Москва какие-либо претензии или просьбы израильской стране
Any complaints to the Israeli side with regards to that? Of course, we have discussed all the aspects of the Syrian peace process. The situation is complicated, and it's not getting less complicated with each passing day. Too many actors are involved in these processes. Too many actors have interests in the region. Some have legitimate interests, such as the interest of Israel's security, and we have always emphasized that this is one of the priority interests for us, both in Syria and in other conflict situations. But there are also illegitimate interests, such as the illegal occupation by the U.S. of the vast part of Syria, the exploitation of natural resources that belong to the Syrian people, including agricultural resources, water resources, etc. And of course, the activities of the U.S. To help Kurdish separatism. This also involves Turkey as well. So many interests intertwine here. And with this respect, we also spoke about Iran, which is together with Russia part of the Astana format. And the Astana format is aimed at taking in all the reality of the situation on the ground and try to carry out UN Security Council Resolution 2254, meaning respect for the territorial integrity of Syria, which has to be restored. It means that all attempts at separatism need to be prevented. And it means that inclusive political dialogue in Syria needs to be launched. Several rounds have already taken place, and for the past year we've seen a struggle of the Syrian authorities to organize a constitutional committee, and we are doing our best to expedite this process. As for Israeli airstrikes in the Syrian territory, we, of course, oppose the idea of Syria becoming an arena of confrontation between third parties. This is why we don't want the Syrian territory to be used against Israel, against any other party. And any issues that arise here every day are discussed by our military leaders, our military authorities, and I believe that this practice will be continued here today as well.
Yes, just to add on Mr. Lavrov, the deconfliction mechanism that we have with Russia is, as I was saying, both effective and necessary. Israel has the right to defend itself from attacks from up north that are caused by the Iranian presence in Syria. But we also care deeply about the security of Russian soldiers in Syria, and we are working together to ensure their safety and well-being. And we believe We have a mutual belief that we have the right mechanism to make sure this is the way it plays.
Да, пожалуйста, ТАСС.
Good afternoon. I have a question to Mr. Lavrov. Earlier today, Dmitry Kuleba stated that Kyiv is ready for a Normandy format meeting with Russia and Ukraine, and that expects Russia to confirm its participation. So do you confirm the participation, and when will this meeting take place? Well, we've heard lots of statements from Kyiv that the Ukrainian side is ready for all kinds of meetings. The one thing that we don't understand is what's the position of the Ukrainian side at these meetings, because we don't want meetings just for the sake of meetings. We have France and Germany participating in the Normandy format as well. If the Normandy format is to carry out work that is entrusted to it by the leaders of the four states, it means that conditions need to be created to carry out the specific Minsk agreements in full. And when the Ukrainian side, through its prime minister who likes the state making these grand statements about meeting as part of the Normandy format as soon as possible, and when we see foreign minister of Ukraine and other officials of Ukraine say the same, what we also see is that at the same time other officials in Ukraine are saying that they will not honor these Minsk agreements. Not just saying that, they are passing laws that would prohibit Ukrainian negotiators from actually respecting the Minsk agreements. So, for example, the law that prohibits the use of the Russian language, or another law that is being discussed in the Rada that would put a stop to all the Minsk agreements that have to do with amnesty, with the special status of the Donbass region, and that have to do with organizing elections there. When this kind of double standards occurs, it's kind of a schizophrenia, in a way. So let's meet in the Normandy format, but we're not going to respect the Normandy format. The Ukrainian side is saying that they have laws that that will prevent this success along these lines. So what they want to do, I believe, is to pressure Berlin and Paris to make them start modify the Minsk agreements. Not long ago, advisors to heads of states of the four Normandy format countries met, and during that meeting it was obvious that Germany or France cannot even explain why they would not penalize Ukraine for actually going against the Minsk agreements.
Что нормандский формат будет дальше заниматься
The Normandy format is agreed by all to be a platform that is created to actually carry out the Minsk agreement, not to rewrite them. Only then we will have the reason to actually come together again. Now, Известия.
Добрый день, газета «Известия», Эльнар Байназаров. Вопрос к обоим министрам.
I have a question to both ministers. When will the next meeting of the Middle East Quartet take place? Could it take place as part of the general of the United Nations General Assembly in September? Thank you. We believe that any attempts to strengthen and restart the process of the Middle Eastern peace process is something that we welcome. And I think that the problems and the processes that take place in the region are something that we take part in. And we believe that the people of the Palestinian Authority need to feel more confident to participate in these processes as well. For now, these processes have been halted. And we believe that dialogue needs to be updated in various formats. One of the formats I've already talked about, the direct dialogue between Israel and Palestine, and Moscow is ready to provide its efforts to help with that, including acting as a mediator and acting, providing its territory where the parties could meet. Another platform is the Middle East Quartet. Russia, US,
the UN.
And I believe that another meeting could happen. We're talking about a possible ministerial level meeting. Our special representatives in the quartet have spoken several months ago, and everyone agrees that work could be restarted. And the Biden administration is actually ready to restart this work as opposed to the previous administration. So we are ready to do this at any moment, because we believe it's important to share and exchange opinions on how the international community create the environment to implement the agreements reached by Israel and Palestine, because it's only them that could actually resolve the crux of the issue.
I'm just adding, there's nobody has set a quartet meeting on the sideline of the General Assembly in New York. It doesn't disqualify the idea, but right now there's nothing of the sort on the table.
The Canal Rush today.
Thank you. Mr. Lavrov, not long ago, Syrian army, with the help of Russia, were able to take control of the situation. But unfortunately, a lot of armed groups laid weapons there. Actually, they wouldn't lay weapons unless they're guaranteed safety. Security. So what's your position on the problem that a lot of weapons and arms are not under the control of the Syrian authorities? Now, a question to Mr. Lapid. A question about Syria. Have you been carrying out talks about the future peaceful peace agreement with Syria, and has there been any progress? Now, speaking about Dara and in Syria, of course, there shouldn't be territories that are controlled by armed groups that do not belong to the Syrian army. And in Dara, with the help of the Russian military, an agreement has been reached that in that region, in that part of the country, control by the Syrian authorities restored. As for the heavy military equipment, all of it will be transferred to the Syrian army, handed to the Syrian army. Maybe light equipment would stay with the fighters, and they will leave the region. As for Idlib, the only way to solve this situation, according to the UN Security Council Resolution 2254, is for our Israeli counterparts to carry out the agreements reached by Mr. Erdogan and Putin that separation of the peaceful opposition and the terrorist organizations. A lot has to be done here, and we have discussed that along military lines with our Turkish counterparts. We have been discussing ways to cooperate with our Turkish partners to implement all the agreements. Work has been done, there is progress, but a lot still remains to be done.
As to the second part of your question, there is no negotiation taking place right now with Israel and Syria. There's not much to negotiate. Actually, aside from security issues, Israel is not even considering and never will returning the Golan Heights to Syria, so therefore there's not much room for negotiation right now.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.